My mother's younger sister is called Joanna, but we all call her Jolo. Jolo. Jolo is a shopaholic. Have you ever heard that word before? You have. I didn't realize it was a thing until someone explained it to me, but evidently shopaholism is real, and she really suffers from it. She used to own a condominium in Boston, and I remember very distinctly opening the front door, and you would go into her little living room. It was two bedrooms. You had to walk through the living room to get to the kitchen. There was so much stuff in her living room that you could not walk. You had to sort of navigate your way around things. There wasn't a clear path to get to the kitchen. She even had boxes unopened of things that she had purchased online but had never even bothered to open. One of the things that would happen to Jo is she would lose her jobs, and she would keep buying things, and the credit card debt would mount. So after a while, she had to leave her condo in Boston and take all of her stuff from Boston all the way down to Sanibel Island, where my grandmother lived. Jolo had to have every single thing that she had bought, so she decided that not only would she stuff her van full of stuff, but she had a friend build a little trailer that she could pull behind her van, and she crammed in every single thing she could into this trailer. And she started to drive down 95 South on her way to her mother's house. And somewhere in the middle of Georgia, can you guess what happened? The trailer exploded. All of her stuff was all over 95 South. No one could get through. People had to stop and help get stuff off the road. And she called my mother and said, "Why is God doing this to me?" We know that John the Baptist was born as the son of the high priest Zechariah. Because at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, we hear the story of how the angel appeared to Zechariah to tell him that he was going to have a son. So we know that John the Baptist was born into great privilege. He would have had a lot of stuff. And he would have had the best of education, good food to eat, a career all lined up for him. But in the scripture, there's this big gap between John the Baptist and his family and the John the Baptist that we read about in the scripture today. We don't know what happened, but the son of the high priest must have decided to leave everything behind, even his clothes, and to go out to the outskirts of Israel, into the wastelands, the wilderness area, with nothing, not a house, no belongings, nothing, where he would eat bugs and honey, wear nothing but camel's hair and a leather belt, and listen for God's voice. And it was because John the Baptist made all this space in his life that he was able to be the one who knew that the Messiah was coming. As Isaiah wrote, John the Baptist was the one who cried out in the wilderness, "Make straight in the desert a highway for our Lord. Make his paths straight." Make his paths straight. I did a wedding last night at the Naval Base. It was outside on the river, beautiful. They purchased this very long rug, a runner. And they made a path, an aisle, between all of the rows of chairs. And the bride and her father walked down that carpet in a straight line so that she could meet her love. Most of us, our minds look a lot like Jolo's living room in Boston. Our lives become so full, not only of our belongings, but of our schedules, our relationships that are not working out, our worries, our concerns. We find ourselves consumed by so many things. Things that we left undone, people that we love who have died, relationships that are not going as we wanted, worries about work or money or finances. And what ends up happening is that there is no clear path for God to enter into our lives. In this season of Advent, God is asking each one of us to make a path that is straight, where God can move towards the one he loves, which is you. You see, God is gentle. God is gracious. God is love. It is very rare for God to just crash into our lives. It does happen from time to time, but mostly God waits patiently for you to invite him in. And if your mind is so crowded and cluttered, how will God find a way to you? There are many people that come to me saying that they wish they could hear more from God. God never talks to me. God doesn't tell me anything. I don't know if God exists. And often when we actually talk, they're not devoting any time to their relationship with God. But how can God come to you when you don't give him the time of day? It's difficult to make a path for God in our crazy lives. It takes a lot of work. But you can start small. You can start with just 10 minutes a day. But my advice is don't try to do it lying down right before you go to sleep. I've tried that before. Doesn't work very well. There are so many ways to do it. You can read scripture. You can sit in silence. But there has to be space in your mind. If you're worrying, just let it go, let it go. Keep clearing it out, keep clearing it out, keep clearing it out. Keep trying to make a path for God to walk towards you, a path to your heart. It is essential that we learn to do this. It is the greatest gift that you could give yourself this Christmas. Time for God. Do you remember the movie Field of Dreams? Where this farmer in Iowa who grows crops of corn hears a voice telling him to dig under his corn and make a baseball field. It's a ridiculous idea. Everybody thinks he's crazy, but he actually does it. He's so hungry for meaning that he does the absolutely impractical thing of digging under his crop to make space in his life for something more than just the mundane day-to-day busyness. And when he does this, incredible, miraculous things happen. We live in such a time that you actually are going to have to dig under your corn to make space for God. And it is tough. You are going to have to fight a battle. It is very hard to get the mind to focus on God. It is very hard to fight for time with God. Believe me, you're going to think of a million reasons why you can't do it. A million reasons why you have to get up and do your laundry or wash your dishes. It is a battle, but it is the most important battle of this life. When you're lying on your deathbed, I don't think you're going to think about how many appointments you had every day. I don't think you're going to be thinking about how much stuff you've bought. I think you're going to be wondering about the one that you're about to see face to face. And you'll be thankful if you've made time to get to know the Holy One. Because that relationship is by far the most important relationship that any of us will ever have. So let us listen today to the voice of John the Baptist as he says to us, "Make straight in the highway a path for our Lord. Make his path straight." Amen.